eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's that time. Your fix is here. College football is a year-round discussion with these two. Here's JC and Morgan. Mike Morgan of ESPN and JC Sherbert of 24/7 Sports have you covered, beginning right now.
Welcome, 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 everybody, and good morning if you're watching us live on every format imaginable, from YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, where you get to see our shining faces and uber-sharp graphics, or if you're just an audio person and you like to listen to the dulcet tones of everybody involved here on this program, on Spotify, on iTunes, still not an Apple guy, never will be, and on Google Play. Also, the social media has been red hot. JC, maybe you can give us a little 411 on that for those that want to follow us on every single possible platform.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can go. We go live on YouTube, youtube.com/ChiefsportsSouthCarolina for now, on the Chiefs Sports app. You can go check us out there live and also archived. And on the podcast version, it's Spotify, it's Apple. We have it up within 24 hours. It's a little slow getting it up these days because of our system. But I do want to tell everybody, look, you can always go to YouTube. And yeah. It's immediately available also on Twitter/X and Facebook. So, I understand some people, especially podcast listeners, get into their habits and they want it on their app and stuff like that. And we're going to try to get that up quicker here and on ITG. Right now, if you're really jonesing for it, you can always go right onto YouTube and make it happen. So it's we're everywhere. We have a website, jcmorgan.com. Please check that out. Please go to Chiefs Sports South Carolina YouTube page. Hit that subscribe button. That just really helps us. We're also on Instagram at jcmorgan, where you can find highlights of Mike's travels, which is always interesting, and a lot of good content there as well. So we're
is it Jason and Morgan Pod on Instagram?
It may be Pod.
It is because I'm looking at it right now.
When
I'm
we started it, it was Jason. Yeah, because it was just, of course, we were just a podcast where I had to go into a studio, and I think Mike called me on the phone. So we've come a long way since.
And I get people that say, "Well, Mike, I always listen when I'm at the gym or when I'm driving, and so therefore I can't watch." Well, that's okay. I mean, you could still flip it on YouTube, for example, and just don't look, but the sound quality is every bit as good. So I like you said, we're all creatures of habit, and I'm a big Spotify guy. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I think we are so fortunate now to not be kind of prisoners to just relying on terrestrial radio and the same kind of overplayed and very often lame options. So I get it. Like I'm a big Spotify guy, but just so you know, if you flip this on early on YouTube, you don't have to watch. You can still just listen like you would on Spotify or iTunes or anything else. So just a little public service announcement.
Right. In the app, because I know some people in YouTube, like if you're not YouTube premium, you have to keep YouTube open to listen. If you are YouTube premium, you don't. But on the app, the beauty of that is you don't have to keep the app. I mean, you could minimize the app, plug it into your car on Bluetooth or whatever. And it's just like listening to a radio show. Right. I've listened to this show and the other shows we have on the app when I've been in the car driving many, many miles. And it's just like Spotify or whatever. So there's always a way to get to us if you want us. We certainly appreciate those that reach out and say, "Hey, where is the podcast?" and all that. And we understand. I get it, too. I'm always disappointed if I want something. But please just bear with us and understand. We're everywhere. You really want to find us.
That's right. We used to, when our schedule wasn't as tight, people would literally get mad when we missed a week. And so we don't miss a week anymore. And we're glad that you're mad, because that means you enjoy listening and you want your fix, so to speak. Speaking of your fix, today we will go back to the guest line. We've been going a lot of national, a lot of big picture, but I felt it was time to get indoctrinated a little bit into the newest powerhouse entering the SEC, and that is Texas. And I've been to Texas a number of times to call games. I've been fortunate enough to call a couple of games at Donald Royal Stadium. I've called some basketball at the old arena. I haven't been to the new one. And of course, everybody knows Texas is a baseball power as well. But basically, Texas is a power in everything. And I like to think like I have a good amount of knowledge on Texas coming in, even though, you know, sometimes we live in our SEC bubble because, you know, we both do a lot of work within the conference. And in some cases, JC, you covering a specific program and in my case, covering that specific league. But we're fans of everything on this, and we have. For a long time since we started, we've had a nationwide audience and a good contingent in the Lone Star State because they love them some college football, and that's what we talk. And now we're going to be talking more and more Texas because it's amazing. No knock on the Big 12. I've said this before. I've been kind of almost a champion for the Big 12. I always felt a little bit of a bond there because I called games in that conference specifically for 4 years when I was with Fox, and I really appreciated everything that the Big 12 has to offer. And I respect what the Big 12 has done to kind of salvage what's left after losing Texas and Oklahoma. But Texas now going to the SEC is a different deal. And our guest today will be Jerry Hamilton of On Texas Football. He and his cast there do an outstanding job of going knee deep. And yeah, we'll do a little bit of micro. You know, how's the secondary going to be? Is that kind of the weakness of this team? What's going to be is Quinn Ewers ready to have a career year, which I personally believe he is. And I've taken some heat from some Georgia fans saying he might actually turn out to be the first team all SEC quarterback and not Carson Beck. I think Quinn Ewers has that in him. But we'll talk with Jerry also about the macro, just like, you know, everything from what was it like when the news broke for you guys that you're leaving the Big 12, going to the SEC? Does Texas truly have unlimited money? Like, what is the NIL? I've read that Quinn Ewers is making as much as $4 million in NIL, JC. I don't know if that's accurate or not. That's just, and I don't know if Jerry knows a specific number because we're not at a place in time where we have to publish those or release those. If you're a university, it's all kind of like a poorly kept secret because it does get out there. But in some cases it's exaggerated. So, but we'll talk with all kinds of stuff. I mean, their schedule, my goodness, there's so many marquee games for Texas this year, beginning on September the 7th at Michigan. I mean, at the Big House, come on. Talk about coming in hot. Their first ever SEC game as a member of the SEC will be home on the 28th against Mississippi State. They're one of those that they do like Big Ten style. They knock out all their non-cons early, right? Bam, 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 bam. Colorado State, Michigan, UTSA, Louisiana Monroe. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty in eight straight conference games, including Oklahoma. And I'm going to keep calling it the Red River Shootout until I'm reprimanded. That'll be on October the 12th. Home against Georgia, October the 19th. That is yours versus Beck right there. I mean, that's a Heisman Trophy game on top of everything else, not to mention NFL scouts will be lining up to see who might be the number one pick in the draft in 2025. And then a lot of people are projecting Texas to be in the SEC championship game. Remember, no more divisions. It's just the top two teams. And 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe Texas wasn't ready for this. Now Sark's got it going. Now they lost a lot from last year's team, but they were big in the portal. They even nabbed a couple of Alabama guys. And you know, JC, how I feel. I mean, if you've got the coach and the quarterback all set, you are ahead of the game right off the bat. And we know Texas, in one of those programs like LSU, like Ohio State, they've always got athletes, always. So, I mean, without even like going knee deep into the two deep, I know they're going to have athletes all over the place. So we'll get into that with Jerry. Really looking forward to that. I know you've crossed paths with Jerry.
Yeah.
Like my contacts in the SEC for the main 14 programs, I've got people out there everywhere that I can just pick up the phone, call, have on as a guest, talk to, get some information. I'm playing catch up on Texas and Oklahoma, so I'm really looking forward. I'm going to learn something from this interview, JC, with our man Jerry Hamilton.
Absolutely, and I think Texas is a very intriguing story. They had the big win in Tuscaloosa last year, which I think a lot of people hang their hats on. Probably a little disappointing losing to Washington in the Sugar Bowl, if we're being honest about it.
Close game.
It's a close game, but you know, I thought at the beginning of the Big 12 schedule and then at the end of the Big 12 schedule, including the Big 12 championship game, Texas kind of got to that next level. It was like their teams, when Colt McCoy in 09 led them to the national championship game and then the 05 team with Vince Young that was so dominant. It kind of reminded me of that because they were clicking on both sides. Their athletes were being their athletes, big-time playmakers. They're beating the crap out of people. Well, then they had some struggles. TCU was a struggle yet again. Kansas State, I tell you, we talked about the new Big 12, and we mentioned Utah as the team maybe to beat. I don't count Kansas State out now. K-State, that's a good program. They're full of 2- and 3-star JUCO recruits, but that dude can coach, and
yeah. They're
always right there, man. K-State's good. But they struggle with K-State. You know, they lost to Oklahoma. But then got rolling. And then I think the Washington game, they kind of reverted. So we'll see kind of what happens with them in the Southeastern Conference. I'll say this, going to Michigan early is a great chance because Michigan lost so much, including their head coach, their quarterback. You know, you mentioned those two things as being paramount. It is up there, though, at the Big House. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy place to play. And I think other than that, They sort of lucked out other than the Georgia game, but it's at home in Austin. They don't have like Oklahoma's SEC schedule. They go to Florida, which is down, and that's late, so you don't know what's going to be going on in Gainesville by that point. They do play A&M in College Station, which I think is probably one of their toughest SEC football games outside of Georgia. But they got Mississippi State. They got Vandy. They got some teams that maybe aren't predicted as high as Oklahoma, which has, I think Oklahoma's got Tennessee. I think they've got Ole Miss. I mean, they've got Auburn on the road. I mean, they've got Oklahoma's schedule's kind of a bloodbath. But, so curious to talk Longhorns. It's I think it's a given around college football, Mike, that Texas has more resources than just about any program in the country.
Anyway.
They haven't under like it's been interesting because I think the whole time they were in the Big 12, they won 4 or 5 Big 12 titles. That's it. Oklahoma dominated that league. You know, and it that situation is sort of like, as a microcosm to the traditional SEC, back when Tennessee used to run all over Georgia and Alabama, you know, in those adjacent states. You know, Georgia's got everything going for it, but Tennessee, which did not have a lot of talent and, you know, did not have the setup Georgia did, would just, you know, go get better players and they're better coached and they'd run all over them. That's kind of been the setup out there, but it's a new era. You know, we've been through expansion twice in my lifetime in the Southeastern Conference. The first time, you know, South Carolina had a weird season where they started 0-5 and it looked like they absolutely didn't belong. And then they put in a quarterback named Steve Tannehill and finished 5-1. Their only loss was a 14-9 loss at the Swamp, Florida, where they held Spurrier to 14 points. Yeah. You know, weird, just a weird year. Arkansas came in and by 94 had won the SEC West. You know, so that, that they won it within 3 years. You look at A&M and Missouri, which they, neither one of those teams had expectations coming in. And lo and behold, here comes Johnny Football, won a Heisman. They won 11 games and then sort of went back to being like they normally are, an 8-win team. And then Missouri, which we didn't know, and Jerry's partner, Bobby, did, because Bobby's been covering Texas and the Big 12 for forever. He told me, watch out for Missouri. Their defense, they have a knack for getting these under-the-radar D linemen, and they have a great D line, which is a need when you're in the SEC. All right, so, yeah, lo and behold, 2013 and 14, Missouri's just got these freaks up on the D-line, and they went back-to-back division titles. So that's three of the four expansion teams in our lifetime, Mike, that have made noise, within their first three seasons. So, right. You know, the flip side of that is, I don't think there's a team in the SEC that was scared of South Carolina, Arkansas, A&M, or Missouri. And I think there was a lot of surprise, an element of surprise there. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in this league, when they see Texas and Oklahoma on the schedule, that is going to not have a red light flashing. I think they're going to face tough crowds. I think it's going to be a huge game because it's new. And those are, like, I think number 4 and 5 in the history of college football in wins, maybe 3 and 4. Yeah, so they're not sneaking in on anybody like Missouri or A&M or anybody. So
man,
that may be a big
point.
Difference because that matters. That matters.
Yeah, that's an excellent point because I remember the 92 expansion, and you're right. It was kind of like, okay, Arkansas, South Carolina, all right, yeah, that'll be nice. But people were certainly not fearful of those programs at that time. They weren't exactly rocking and rolling. And then A&M Missouri, well, A&M will fit because of their 12th man and everything, but they're not a threat. Well, nobody knew Johnny Manziel was. And the Missouri one, you know, you had these, all of a sudden, these NFL defensive linemen on those teams. And you had what, Brad Smith for a while, who was a really dynamic, energetic, tough to stop quarterback. And you had a good coach,
and a really good coach. And the quarterback, James Franklin. Don't forget about it. You remember they had a quarterback named James
Franklin.
That's
right. Yep.
It was really good during that time, too.
And I'm sure I'm forgetting some of their skilled players that were pretty good back then that were not quarterbacks. But yeah, I mean, I've talked about this before, in all honesty. The East was woeful when Missouri went on their run. Not to take away anything from Mizzou, but the East was bad. I mean, the East just went through a real tough frame where they were the JV to the West varsity. That's no longer a factor. But these two additions, and I realize Oklahoma, this was 5 years ago, and Lincoln Riley had his normal band of Heisman Trophy signal callers and was, you know, doing what they were doing, then there'd really be a ton of fear for both these teams. Now, I think if you drew the Oklahoma card versus the Texas card in year one, of course, that's going to flip-flop in year two in 2025. You'd rather play Oklahoma right now. Oklahoma is still finding themselves under Brent Venables, and they've got a new starting quarterback, and they lost basically their entire offensive line, et cetera, et cetera. In the case of Texas, they are coming in hot. This is not Charlie Strong, Texas. This is not Tom Herman, Texas. This is Sark's got it going. And to me, it was one of the biggest mysteries in college athletics, how Texas was not dominating. But now they are. I mean, they're a legitimate national championship contender. So we'll talk more about that with Jerry Hamilton. That'll be in about 40 minutes time. We'll have the JC5 in just a few moments. Also, our man, John, G5 John, is going to supply a little content for us. Because damn it, he's qualified. He's a longtime Group 5 guy who has been a champion for the little guys. And, you know, a lot of people like our national guests, like Tim Brando and others, they truly feel bad for the way G5 and basically everybody's being treated that's not in the Power 4. And I think that's eventually going to feel bad for everybody who's not in the Power 2. So there's a lot of compassion, for lack of a better word, for these programs. But remember, even with the new expanded playoff, you get one. That hasn't changed. With all the things that are set up to favor the SEC and the Big Ten, the G5 is going to get one. So he'll have his G5 watch list, the four teams that had the potential to get the G5 bid for the college football playoff. That'll be fun, too, because, again, we are not what's the word I'm looking for? We don't just cater to the elite of the elite. We're not elitists. There we go. We're not elitists here on JC and Morgan. We cover it all gamut to gamut, 1 through 130 and beyond. We'll talk some FCS playoffs when that time comes from. If you listen to this show, you probably love college football. You've got your team. But as I've always said, what separates college football from so many other sports, you don't just love your team. You love the sport as a whole. You care about what's going on. And that's why you listen to us, and that's why we're going to bring you some coverage of a number of those things on the JC5. Get ready, the morale booster, the injection of positivity that makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy, because it's five topics that will be pervasive over the sport that we know and love in college football. He is JC. Our producer is Mad Dog Phil Mullinax. I am Mike. It is episode number 240, if I'm not mistaken, and it continues after a quick timeout.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Hey, folks, want to tell you about our friends at Titan Construction Group really quick. They're a mid-Atlantic-based general contractor, specializes in retail, restaurant, and office construction. TCG strives to separate itself from other general contractors by adding value every step of the process. From project budgeting to estimation, value engineering to construction, they focus on those relationships and not the transaction. Titan builds partnerships one project at a time. Among their clients are Starbucks, Crumble Cookie, Blake Pizza, Home Goods, 15 plus years experience, based in Midlothian, Virginia, and contracted in Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So get on their website, TitanCGInc.com. That's TitanCGInc.com. Get in touch with Brad if you're in need of a general contractor that focuses on going above and beyond for their clients. That's Titan Construction Group, a proud sponsor of the JC and Morgan podcast.
Mike.
Listen up. This is for construction professionals, contractors, facility managers, or do-it-yourself homeowners. SitePro Rentals is ready to equip your upcoming project. We rent construction equipment for any size job. Boom and scissor lifts, telehandlers, skid steers, excavators, air compressors, generators, even small tools and equipment. SitePro has you covered. If you are ready for better equipment rental, call SitePro and rent from the local, friendly, easy to do business with equipment professionals. Call 972-RENT now. That's 972-736-8669 to rent the newest equipment in the Atlanta market. Call 972-RENT now or visit siteprorentals.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're passionate about making sure that the Nest and Wild mattress is the best it can be. Made well and made right. Right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So how can we do all that? Work. Hard work. And that means something. The Nest and Wild mattress is a movement. It's a pride in where you come from and where you're going. So get comfortable. Because this movement is just beginning.
All right, we're back with JC and Morgan, just moments away from the JC5. And I don't know if this is in the file. I like getting the JC5 hot off the presses, and I don't get prepped. I have no idea where you're going with this. It's potluck. You keep it in a hermetically sealed envelope, guarded by some of the nation's finest security detail. So nobody has any idea where you're going with this. But I should mention, you know, spring football is officially closed. We talked about it when most of the programs had played. Then you had a Colorado game. I think you're going to find yourself. Maybe you thought that story was cute last year. I think most people are going to find themselves like, really? Are we really spending this much time on Colorado again this year? It is the shiny toy that the national media can't help but pick up and play with and tell you all about it. But they did have their spring game for what that's worth. And a ton more attrition for Dion's crew in the portal, and we'll see how that goes. They got a powerhouse 1AA opponent, I believe that's on a Thursday night against North Dakota State, so that'll be interesting. But spring football has come and gone, and we'll get some kind of overarching thoughts on that eventually as well. By the way, I just got to say this real quick. JC, you and I on another show, we talked about the Tom Brady roast, which I watched from start to finish. I've always been a roast guy. Holy smokes. If you have that kind of funny bone where you find a roast funny, which I do, it was freaking hilarious. And I can't believe they got away with some of the stuff they got away with. That's A. B, there's a video out there of, speaking of college towns, Gainesville, Florida, Ric Flair went into some pizza joint, Paisano's, which I've been to Gainesville 100 times, and I know where this is, but I haven't been there. But it looks like just a regular kind of Italian pizza joint place. I mean, nicer than CC's, but not like a fancy Italian place. And Rick got into it with the staff. He couldn't get into the bathroom because somebody there was I don't know what they were doing in there, but a very inebriated video on TMZ of Ric Flair chewing out the manager after paying like $1,500 for the bill. You just can't make this stuff up. That's priceless.
I sympathize with the Nature Boy on that, man, because there's nothing worse than, like, you're at a restaurant, you have to go to the bathroom, and it's, you know, a lot of them skimp and save because, you know, restaurants are going through a hard time because of the overhead. And, but throughout history, you know, you have, like, the onesie, the one toilet in there, which usually means they don't do much of a nighttime crew. But, man, you're sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and you don't know what the heck's going on in the bathroom. This is beyond any kind of biological time frame for anybody to do anything in there. And it walks out, it's a manager, and you're like, you know, I get it. I get why he was upset. Was he probably someone they didn't want to serve moving forward? Was he in that state? Yeah. No, knowing Ric Flair probably. But you know, it was kind of unfortunate and all that, because I don't think it made him look good, but, you know, I understand the frustration, especially, you know, at a place where, you know, if you have a legit complaint, you're going to get, you know, people are going to be rude to you. And I listened to the whole thing. I don't think Rick at any point pulled a "do you know who I am" until he said, "look at the social media tomorrow."
Yeah.
You know, he was constrained in that department a little more than I thought.
Yeah.
It's funny. A lot of these folks probably didn't even know who he was.
Well, I mean, he's in his 70s. He's aged a little, but I would certainly know. I've met Rick at a few college football games because he loves college football, loves it. It's just kind of a out of the world zany story. I'll tell you what's not zany, and it's in this world, and we're all thankful for it. It's the JC5.
It's time for the top topics in the sport. We bring the JC5. Number one.
All right, Mike. This is going to be a socialist or capitalist question, and it's not as open and shut as you may think. So this revenue share thing is probably going to happen after they settle this big lawsuit. It's amazing to me that one lawyer or one law firm has forced all this change, but it's the NCAA, so who knows? So which way do you think they should do it? Should they go with every athlete gets the same kind of cut, or do they structure it based on sport, or do they structure it based on individual and valuation of the individual athletes? I think that's a fair question, because you're going to have a pot of money for it, but how do they distribute it? And what would be, in your mind, the most fair way to distribute said money?
I feel like the people that are pushing for all this in a post NIL world, right, where just talked about what Quinn Ewers is probably making. I've talked about before the average starting salary of an SEC quarterback, minus a few at the bottom, is probably seven figures. You know, if you're an established guy, if you're a new guy, you're probably not making that. But if you're Carson Beck, if you're Quinn Ewers, if you're Jackson Dart, that's kind of the going rate. You know, if you're the Ohio State quarterback, if you're an established Michigan quarterback, if you're at Southern Cal and you're quarterback, that's the established rate. So you thought maybe that would put an end to some of this. No. The squeaky wheel, once you give it some oil, nowadays the mantra is, well, just keep demanding oil. You know, you got them on the ropes. Keep going for broke. So you want this situation where you want to be treated like pros, but then you don't want a system that really would act on pure supply and demand principles. For example, every sport not named football and men's basketball, and in some cases college baseball, loses money. Women's basketball, for example, you're a national championship team, you're losing $5, $6, $7, $8 million. You're in the red. Volleyball, you're in the red. Golf, 10, you're in the red. You're in the red, you're in the red. But Title IX says, okay, well, you still have to support those programs basically on a, if you're 50-50 male-female enrollment, then 50% of the revenue, and we include football in this, you don't take it out. Those 85 scholarships, so that's why, for example, women's basketball has more scholarships than men's basketball. Softball, which you can have the same pitcher, you need a bullpen, they have more scholarships than men's baseball, which has 11.7. So we want football to get the benefits of supply and demand economics, But we don't want to have to be treated like an NFL player that gets cut, or when you sign a 3-year contract, you don't get to go in the portal just because you're unhappy with something. You got to honor the contract. And then on the flip side, if we were truly basing this on an economic model, then all the money that comes in for athletic programs would go to the sports that fans care most about. And that's football and basketball when it comes right down to it. So I don't know how all this gets resolved. You have so many people that have their own personal agendas on this, JC, that I don't know what is a fair, equitable way to do it. I really don't. I mean, I thought NIL, as flawed as it is and clearly in need of guardrails, I thought it was the best thing to a solution that you could come up with. And it's brilliant because it circumvents Title IX, because you're basing it purely on quote unquote, market value, even though we know that's kind of hogwash. You're basically just buying recruits. Everybody knows it.
But not all of them get the same.
Correct. Not all of it gets. Yeah. The star quarterback gets more than the kicker.
And I'll be honest, your better schools out there, actually, most of them that I know of, the better schools, the ones that are actually, winning during this period.
Right.
They do something where everybody, you come in as a freshman. Well, everybody gets this as a freshman.
As a freshman.
And then you earn it from there, which I think is probably the best way to do it.
No
surprise, those schools are winning, right?
Yeah.
The other people that pay a freshman $1 million, you're right. The market value is determined.
So. I don't know how. I mean, if you believe these reports, the Pete Thamels of the world, the Andy Staples of the world, that are talking about what's coming down the highway, is that schools could be asked to pay $20 million a year? Is that right? I mean, am I reading this right? Mm-hmm. $20 million a year just off the top in quote unquote revenue sharing? So I know everybody thinks that these schools just are a bottomless pit of money, but that's really not true. Like if you all of a sudden take $20 million off the top, that's $20 million. I would expect some sports to get cut. I would expect some positions to get cut. You know, things like an associate sports information director, which most people don't care about, but I can tell you they do great work and they mean something. And that's somebody's job and family that they're doing everything they can to pay their mortgage, making $68,000 a year. Like that's a real thing. It's tangible. So I don't know. I don't know where they came up with that figure or how they came up with that figure. And I don't understand how they would even win a lawsuit. This is under the auspices of antitrust, right? Which I've always mentioned is a big reason why you have a Group 5 automatic bid, because they were going to sue for antitrust if you didn't cater to them a little bit, if you didn't let them be a part of the party. So I hate to dodge your question. I simply don't know what is a fair way to do it, because I thought NIL, if it's done correctly, was the fair model.
Number two.
All right, Mike, and I think I know your answer on this because it's a place that's near and dear to your heart, as my guess is what your answer will be. So the college football playoff rotates around different cities. Indianapolis got one. LA's got another one coming up. It's been in San Francisco and the Bay Area. We had Houston last time. A lot of diversity. Miami will get Miami, New Orleans, those places, Arizona, they'll get it. Let's say the NCAA or the college football playoff decided, look, we're going to make it like the College World Series or like the SEC men's basketball tournament, where it's always in Nashville or it's always in Omaha. What would be the city?
For college football?
Yeah.
The national championship game every year, one place. I mean, you've got the SEC in Atlanta, which is perfect, and I don't think we'll ever move, nor should it. For college football, if you had to pick one, I don't like one. I think it should rotate. So let me just say that off the top. B, you want to go somewhere where the weather is good. Okay. So you're talking Florida, you're talking California, because we're in the heart of winter at that point in time. You know, I would say Nashville is a possibility with their new stadium. They're going to host a lot of big college football events in due time. Now, that one, is it a retractable roof? I forgot.
It's a full dome.
So, yeah. So Nashville would certainly be in play. But you got to remember now, we're talking as two people in the Southeast. Well, I know technically you're right now in Chicago, but your heart will always be in the Southeast, JC. The people out West and the people in the Midwest, they don't want to go to a Southeastern city every year for their national championship game. They're not going to like that. They're not going to like
the West people just joined a conference where they have to come to the Midwest every year. Right.
Well, that's true.
They guarded their precious Rose Bowl in the big
geography be damned
halfway across the country. No, I don't think it can be at just one. I just wanted to get your take on it. And I would just go with Atlanta because that's where the Hall of Fame is. And that's kind of the mecca of college football.
I agree.
The airport and the logistics are always, anytime Atlanta hosts a big event, you know, since the Olympics, they've pulled it off pretty
well. They're set up for success on it. Yeah.
So, I'd probably just – and they got a dome in case it is – it is cold. It does get cold.
You can open it. You can close it. It's like an old
the Montreal Expos, La Stadium Olympique.
Olympic Stadium.
Remember they had the retractable roof?
They tried. They meant well back in the day. But I couldn't argue with Atlanta. I hope we never get to that point. I love the rotation. I love the different sites. I don't, again, as somebody who loves living in the Southeast, I don't want to see it just in the Southeast. You know, I think in the essence of fair play, I as commissioner grant you West Coasters, grant you Midwesterners, we can move this sucker around and keep everybody geographically happy.
Yeah, if Chicago builds their new dome, I think they would be in the mix to do it too.
You got Indianapolis there now.
Yeah.
And I've been to that stadium to call a couple of Colts games, and that's an awesome spot. Like, don't sleep on Indy. Indy is a cool place for an event like that. Of course, they've had Final Fours there as well. Their infrastructure is good. So that would, even if Chicago screws that up, as Chicago's been known to screw some things up, JC, you still have Indy in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Number 3.
All right, so we have a club that we've identified where we're convinced every college referee just goes and makes gains, bro, and pumps iron, bro, every Saturday. Well, there's an athletic director that does that. His name's Ross Bjork. I know you know who Ross is.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's ever been a bigger climber in the athletic department realm than him. I wanted to get your thoughts on him. I mean, obviously, because you've had athletic directors before jump from, I think A&M's last three athletic directors have come from South Carolina, Ole Miss, and now Nebraska with Trev Alberts. And I've got something about Nebraska in number 4. A&M's obviously a plum athletic director's job. They probably pay well. It's probably a headache. But your thoughts on the difference in job level athletically across the board between an A&M and Ohio State, and what caused Ross, who I think is kind of a Kansas native, not really an up north guy.
You're right. Yep.
Is the athletic department at Ohio State just that much better than most of the other places in the country? Is it that destination position to where somebody would leave a great spot like A&M with unlimited money to go take it over?
Great question. I think two things. Number one, Ohio State has it all. And as you mentioned, Ross is a guy, I mean, he actually was a former football player at Emporia State, which is a small school in Kansas. I'll give you a name from Emporia State. How about Leon Lett? Leon Lett played his ball at Emporia State. I first ran into Ross when he was the AD at Ole Miss. I was doing a basketball game, and it was, believe it or not, snowing outside in Oxford. And so you weren't allowed to, like, drive to the old Tad Pad and he was there as the AD, and he basically said, students, if you want to walk to the game, give us a little crowd, I'll be handing out free pizzas. I was like, that's a pretty cool idea. And he was at Ole Miss for like seven, eight years, and then A&M because it's A&M and oil money and all that. But I think, JC, it's twofold. Number one, Ohio State has the best of everything in so many ways. It's a great job. Big Ten has become a cash cow, and Ohio State is right there at the top of the list with Michigan. But B, I don't think that whole situation with Jimbo just washes off that quickly, right? I mean, yeah, I get it. You can afford the buyout. Yeah, I get it. You hired somebody who may or may not work out, but in Coach Elko, and clearly there was flirting with Mark Stoops. That's gonna have a hangover effect in Lexington, I can promise you. But I just think the way that thing imploded, the whole Jimbo thing, that's going to, if he stayed at A&M, that was going to be a major part of his legacy. And I don't think he wanted any part of it. Correct. So he came in 2019. Who got credit for that hire?
Whoever the interim was between Eric Hyman and him. And I don't remember.
So does it not go down as a Bjork hire?
Was 2018? No, 2018 was Jimbo's first year. So
that would precede Bjork.
I thought, well, yeah, and see, I thought, depending on when Bjork was hired, I wasn't under the impression he was there when Jimbo.
Yeah, he did not. He did not.
Scott Woodward was there, man. What am I thinking?
Yeah, I was just thinking. Scott Woodward, big game hunter.
Yeah, he was there. I think Bjork hired Schlossnagel, but I think Woodward hired Jimbo and he hired Buzz Williams.
Right, and if you believe the reports, Big Game Hunter wanted to get Jimbo to LSU. Remember, that was the big. Oh, that was big.
LSU and Auburn and Jimbo need to stop. They just need to stop. I mean, yeah. It's like that couple that they're just friends, you know, but they in their mind they think they're ultimately going to get together, star-crossed lovers, whatever. Those two programs are Jimbo Fisher. I mean, you know, years from now, if somebody wants to create an AI program of Jimbo as the head coach at either one of those schools, that could go down as alternative history. I mean, seriously, they every time there's a daggum opening, Auburn and LSU, Jimbo Fisher.
I wasn't trying to pin the hire on Ross Bjork, because at the end of the day, it's who a lot of the fans, it's who everybody thought was the next best thing. You know, like, it wasn't an outside the box hire. It was the so-called home run, grand slam, can't miss hire that everybody wanted, and Texas A&M had the cash to get. But Bjork presided over that administration,
and then the raise. I mean, the raise to 90.
The raise to 90. That's all, Ross.
Here's another $18 million, Jimbo.
Right. And it's not as if, you know, basketball was lighting the world on fire. Like, I just think that Ross figured this might be as good as he can go in College Station. And for that matter, Texas A&M has always had, you know, champagne and prime rib tastes, but they've gotten more of like Chili's results here in the last however many decades, right? Like, I mean, if we're being honest about it, no SEC championships, no national championships in our lifetime, playing second fiddle very often to some other in-state schools. And you look at it, and I've been to college. I love going to College Station. My goodness, what a cool place. And immense resources, fan base, incredible. But they have underachieved by every statistical measure. And so maybe Ross looked at that and said, I can keep trying to fight this battle and swim upstream, and hopefully I'm the one that breaks through. And if I do, well, I'm the best AD on the planet. But, or I can just go over to Columbus and jump right into a really, really good situation that is perhaps there's an easier path. And just like coaches, JC, where I like to say path of least resistance, I think being the athletic director at Ohio State versus Texas A&M, that is the path of least resistance for Ross Bjork. That's a great question, though. I hadn't even thought of it, but it is very interesting. And, yes, Ross can fill the sleeves, brother. I'm not your average out of shape, AD. I'm rocking a six-pack.
Got a career in officiating.
Yes. Well, the thing about the officials that gets me is that those guys, I don't even know they're in great shape. They just know to wear the schmedium referee jerseys, and I just envision them 7 days a week doing arm curls. So that when they're on camera, you know, they could, you know, the veins are bulging and like, look at me. And like, I want my referee to be scrawny, out of shape, but really good. He's too busy studying the rule book and working on his timing. He doesn't have time to go to LA Fitness and pound out a few more sets of bicep curls. No. My referee looks more like an accountant that I can trust. That's what I want to see.
Number four.
Nebraska can't catch a break. Hey, look, I think you and I share the opinion that athletic directors are overrated, or, you know, they get blamed for things that are ridiculous.
Too much blame, too much credit. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So much. Yeah. Yeah. So much is out of their control. You know, the things that are in their control, if you have them dropping the ball on those very, you know, basic things, you probably do need to fire them. I mean, I think Arizona fired their athletic director because they were $200 million in the hole. Well, he needed to be fired. You know, I mean, you got a guy with that kind of mess, you probably need to get somebody in there to clean it up. And they got the lady from Missouri. But Trev Alberts, man, Mr. Husker, lifelong Cornhusker, one of the all-time, one of the goats of Nebraska football lore. Well-known individuals of his TV work in college football and, you know, took the AD job, you know, I think has been admirable, you know, getting hiring Matt Rhule was a good hire. They got Fred the Mayor Hoiberg, and about the only thing going for Nebraska right now is their basketball program is not at the bottom like it used to be. But, dude, to have him walk out and go to A&M, this is on top of Scott Frost face planting when they beat Florida to hire him.
Yeah.
And he was an all-time great. When is Nebraska going to catch a break?
I'm afraid that Nebraska, first off, I can never blame anybody leaving for the Big Ten because the money is so much better than what it would have been had they stayed. So financially speaking, you can say that's a win. But I don't think they ever were a good fit, still aren't a good fit, even in the new, you know, it's like being the intercontinental champion of the world because they're covering the entire continent. It seems like all you need now is a Big Ten university in Alberta, Canada, to sign on and join the Big Ten conference. I'm afraid for Nebraska that it's not coming back. And like I always thought, Texas, to bring it back to the Longhorns and our guest later on. And Jerry Hamilton, I always thought Texas would be back. I still think Southern Cal, whether it's with Lincoln Riley or not, will be back. These are what I call volcano programs. I always talked about Florida State will be back. They are back. I don't feel that way like again with Nebraska. I don't feel they are a volcano program. I'm not sure they're going to erupt again. I'm not sure they're ever going to be nationally relevant again. I think the perfect storm of factors made Nebraska with Tom Osborne a national power for decades. I don't know if I see that coming down the pike. And when you hit on the key thing, these are not just guys who were, particularly in the case of Scott Frost, at the top of their profession when they came to Lincoln. These are alums. These are guys that got it done on the field. These are guys that know where all the bodies are buried. They know all the weak spots, the strong spots, the things that your average person that's never worked there or played there, they wouldn't know. And they failed by Nebraska standards. They failed. And now you got one bolting. They didn't fire Trev Alberts. I mean, to my knowledge, he wasn't on the hot seat. He just said the hell with it. I want something that's going to be easier to be successful at. I might have a degree from here, but this ain't about my degree or loyalty. This is about what's best for me and my family. And I'm taking what I consider the better job. It is the ultimate slap in the face, but I don't blame him. And short answer to your question, I don't think Nebraska gets back. I think they can be good, and I hope they're good. I'd like to see Nebraska be in the top 25 on a perennial basis again, but I don't think they're going to be in the top 10 anytime soon.
Number five.
All right, as we wrap up the JC5, you know, I'm going from a school that I have empathy for to one I have zero empathy for, and that's UCLA. So here's the question I have. I think UCLA is probably going into the wilderness in football with the move to the Big Ten, which was for them, it's just a money grab because they were struggling financially. I don't think they have a chance of competing, line of scrimmage wise, especially. They got Chip Kelly leaves for the Ohio State OC job.
Yeah,
they just kind of promoted poor Deshaun Foster, and they're just going to throw him to the wolves, kind of like Matt Luke or Jimmy Lake or some of these other 1 or 2 year guys, and then reevaluate. So my question for you is, because keep in mind, the Wilderness is a program that kind of wanders and meanders with the occasional good year, but they're not as consistently good as they once were, and you know things generally aren't that good. And then the Abyss is, you're stringing together, like, it's been about 6 years since you've been to a bowl, you know, 6 years since you had a winning season. So given a binary choice between Wilderness and Abyss for UCLA, your take.
So my choices are what and what again?
Wilderness, where they're just kind of okay, and but they don't win as much as maybe you once used to. You know, UCLA in the Pac-12 was a perennial bowl team.
Yes.
So in other words, maybe they're a bowl team 2 out of 5 years. That would kind of be the Wilderness. They change coaches every 4 or 5 years or whatever.
Okay.
Or the Abyss, where they're staring down 2-10 and 3-9s and 4-8 maybe a good year, and they're cycling through coaches like crazy. I mean, will UCLA sink to the bottom of this new Big Ten?
This is not a trick question. Which would I rather be, 2-10 or 7-5?
No, not would you rather be. What do you see for that program?
What do I see? Like,
what do you think will happen?
I think that the money issues have always seemed to be surrounding that program, and I don't understand why. I've worked with some alums from there, like a Tom Ramsey, former quarterback there. You listen to Rick Neuheisel talk on his show, Full Ride, about UCLA, and it breaks his heart to see how far they have fallen. It just seems like their model is broken. You watch a home game at UCLA, and it's embarrassingly empty. It's a tough – it's like watching the Motor City Bowl on ESPN2 with a MAC school taking on a Mountain West school. It when we grew up, it was Troy Aikman, it was Gaston Green, it was J.J. Stokes, was Eric Turner the safety? Was he at a UCLA, former high pick of the Browns?
Oh, yeah.
Talent. It was, and they went through multiple coaches, and they all had some level of success. Now, they weren't playing for national championships. Very few teams were. But they were always good, it felt like. I don't know, JC. I don't know what the answer is there. Like, people look at it, and I've learned a valuable lesson going to L.A. A few times in the last few years to call NFL games, and I really understood the culture more than I did just from a distance. It is all NFL out there. It's all anybody talks about. You put on a sports talk radio station for 4 hours, you might get one mention of Southern Cal, and that is it. It is all NFL. And, of course, L.A. now has two teams as opposed to zero. Remember when Pete Carroll had it rolling at Southern Cal? That was their NFL team. Mm-hmm. There was no NFL. They didn't have the Rams and the Chargers in Los Angeles. So Carroll saw that as an opportunity to say, we are your NFL team. And they had celebrities on the sidelines, and they had all these recruits coming, and they became the story in LA. UCLA is never going to even be close to that. And they're playing second fiddle to Southern Cal. They've been doing that for, I don't know, 20 something, some odd years. I don't think so. I think they remain in the abyss. Now, what does the abyss look like? I don't know if it's 2-10. The abyss might be more like a 5-7 program. The schedule's about to be beefed up in the Big Ten. I see all the financial resources being exhausted at Southern Cal. I don't see that at UCLA. No, I think if we had this conversation 10 years from now, we're still looking at a UCLA program that's not nationally relevant. I think they're in the abyss. I think they're I just don't see good things happening. I don't wish that on them, but I don't see the solution.
Unfortunately, I'm with you. And I know a few UCLA fans. They're good football people. There's good Californians. Because California is so different culturally than the Midwest or the Southeast. We don't think of them as football people, but they are. The weather's nice out there. Football, in the pros, it's a cold weather sport during the playoffs, but they love their football in that state. There's great high school football out there. There's talent. And the college fans, they're different. They're not as like live and die with every breath, but they are, they're still good fans. And I hate that for UCLA. I mean, the stadium's 30 minutes away and you have to go through traffic. I mean, they played a game against South Alabama 2 years ago, Mike, and there was right before kickoff. It looked like Vanderbilt spring game, yeah, or some of those games during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Where there were 10 people in the stands. And I think, like we talked about with Nebraska, I think the new conference hurt them bad. Whereas Nebraska, I think in the Big 12 toward the end, they were still like the kings of the North or whatever. And then went to the Big 10 and whatever happened. I think unlike that, UCLA already had some problems. There was some writing on the wall. And now you're going into a league that outside of your little West Coast teams you play every year is a completely different style of football that you have to gear up to play. The travel is going to be insane. It's fans from the Midwest are going to go out there in droves and fill up your stadium, because that's another big difference between like the Big Ten and the SEC and then the PAC and certain Big 12s is the road games. People from the Midwest travel. They get in the family truck. They get in the family truckster, head down Route 66 and go to Wally World, man, and get in the truck. Let's go. I mean, look at the bowl game crowds in Florida every year when the Big Ten plays the SEC. The Big Ten brings just as many.
Heck yeah. Lots of bowl games initially were designed for. They were vacation retreats.
Vacations.
Yeah,
it's going to get ugly at UCLA, in my opinion. I'm not saying that to be ugly to their program. I'm just saying I look 1-18 out there, and I'm like, gosh, you know, I mean, Southern Cal has the ability to adjust. UCLA had a whole different set of problems. And then Chip Kelly walks out the door and they replaced him with Deshaun Foster, you know, and that's just, I don't know that I don't want to call that waving the white flag or giving up before it even starts, but that screams to me like we don't have the resources to deal with this right now. We need a couple of years where we get this paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'll go deal with it. So anyway, that's it. Unfortunately, Jerry Hamilton had to cancel.
Our first bailout guest in how many years of JC and Morgan? Jerry, we love you.
No,
we'll get you on another time. But for today, you are the heel of the show.
Knowing Jerry, here's what happened. He forgot or he wasn't aware, like me with some of the stuff I have to do sometimes around the house. He wasn't aware that he had to do something with the kid. And then it crept up on him, and he was probably informed like right before he's supposed to go on. So that's
okay. We still love
classic,
you, Jerry.
Man.
We'll get you on another time. And we still want to get to Group 5 John on the other side. We've covered quite a lot here today. I do want to mention one of our proud sponsors, Nest and Wild, nestandwild.com, for the most comfortable mattress on the market, but much cheaper than some of those other ones you see advertised on TV on a regular basis. Locally owned and operated by a great dude, Brandon Jameson, the founder and the CEO. They're at a Tupelo, Mississippi, and you can go online and it's kind of, I mean, you'll see exactly how they build it, how they make it. And then guess what they do? They just deliver it to your door in a box. You open it up and poof, there is your mattress. Easy, easy setup, made with ventilated high density foam, best in class cooling technology to deliver comfort, support, and a good night's sleep. They believe that bells and whistles aren't very conducive to rest. That's why we offer one mattress with all the upgrades already built in. Yeah, you don't need a remote control to set a number. You know, here's what you care about. Comfortable enough to have a great sleep. That's what Nest and Wild delivers. Check out nestandwild.com for the most comfortable and well-priced mattress on the market. Final segment of JC and Morgan coming up on the other side of this quick timeout.
Listen up. This is for construction professionals, contractors, facility managers, or do-it-yourself homeowners. Site Pro Rentals is ready to equip your upcoming project. We rent construction equipment for any size job. Boom and scissor lifts, telehandlers, skid steers, excavators, air compressors, generators, even small tools and equipment. Site Pro has you covered. If you are ready for better equipment rental, call Site Pro and rent from the local friendly, easy to do business with equipment professionals. Call 972-RENT now. That's 972-736-8669 to rent the newest equipment in the Atlanta market. Call 972-RENT now or visit siteprorentals.com.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans, where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
We're passionate about making sure that the Nest and Wild mattress is the best it can be. Made well and made right. Right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So how can we do all that? Work. Hard work. And that means something. The Nest and Wild mattress is a movement. It's a pride in where you come from and where you're going. So get comfortable. Because this movement is just beginning.
All right, back with you here on JC and Morgan for the final segment here. As we mentioned at the top, you know, we like to cover, obviously, the heavyweights, but also cover it all around. This is from our buddy, a longtime listener and kind of a champion for the smaller schools. We'll call him Group 5 John. Group 5 John's out there listening to us in Tampa. And he's got his Group of Five watch list early review. Four teams that have potential and the possibility to get the G5 bid for the NCAA playoffs. Now, this is not in any particular order, so he's not rating 1 through 4 as in number one is the top. But he just threw four out there, and here are the four. Memphis, a common – and you're going to recognize, like, these are common names for the Group 5, much like the Power 5. The Power Four. I always talk about how it's insane predictable. It's the same teams compete. Well, it's kind of the same, honestly, in the Group Five. I mean, it's the same half a dozen schools seemingly that are leading the way. Every now and then there's an outlier. Every now and then they have their version of TCU. But Memphis is one. Quarterback Seth Hennigan, who threw for over 3,800 yards and 32 touchdowns. He is back. They're coming off a Liberty Bowl win against Iowa State. Head coach Ryan Silverfield was hired as the head coach back in December of 2019. Again, they're one of those programs, JC. This is what I always love to see, your head coach and quarterback back together. They got a big one at a conference September the 14th at Florida State. Got a chance to shock the world. They've got key games in the American all on the road at USF, at UTSA, and at Tulane. Any thoughts on the mighty Memphis Tigers and formerly of Paxton Lynch?
They have a couple of South Carolina guys they got in the portal that transferred out. Mario Anderson, who was South Carolina's leading rusher last year, and Jalen Nichols, who was the starting left tackle for South Carolina for a while. Those two guys, they were solid SEC guys, I think, in the American. They can probably take some – they can probably be dominant, if you want me to be honest. And those are two critical positions. Of course, the Florida State game, Mike Norvell came from Memphis. So I think it's probably – a lot of times you'll see that, like, on the schedule. Like, Colorado State, all of a sudden, when Florida hired McElwain, Colorado State popped on Florida's schedule.
Right.
And I think if they do that sometimes to kind of make the buyout a little bit more – you know, oh, we'll throw this in for you too with the buyout if you come off the cash. And so that's interesting. I would never schedule Memphis.
Heck no.
You can ask Mississippi State and Ole Miss about that. They home and home with those dudes, and they get beat sometimes. And good Mississippi State and Ole Miss teams. But I'm buying it. When you look at Memphis, you know, they do have the FedEx resources. It's a lot like Arkansas that has – Tyson's Chicken and I guess somewhat Walmart, but we've kind of discovered otherwise on that. But
Memphis
the FedEx people are like all in. I think the next step for them as a football program is to build a new stadium. I think the Liberty Bowl. I've been there, dude, and I love it. I think it's neat. It looks like the old Tampa Bay Sombrero style stadium, but it's a. Probably could use a little love, but I do think when you look at the history of their athletics program, you know, in basketball in particular, you know, Memphis has the ability to contend.
Yeah, and a great fan base. They really wanted in the Big 12. I mean, they're sitting there and they're like, wait a minute, you guys are letting in UCF and you're letting in BYU and you're letting in Houston and you're not letting us in? You don't think we're good enough? So I think Memphis has a natural chip on its shoulder because of that. All right, another American is also on the G5 John list, another American conference program. Tulane, again. He says, watch the quarterback battle for the starting job between redshirt junior Ty Thompson, a transfer from Oregon, and redshirt junior Kai Horton. He played in the Military Bowl game, a loss, 41-20. They got their top running back in Mekhi Hughes. He ran for over 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. They got a new head coach, of course, John Sumrall, who did a great work at Troy. So Sumrall is back. Tulane's got most of their top guys on defense back. They've got a home game against Kansas State September the 7th. They go on the road at Oklahoma September the 14th. Key games to get back to the AAC championship game are home versus USF and home versus Memphis. Thoughts on the mighty Green Wave?
Yeah, I think you lose a coach like Willie Fritz and you're Tulane, and he's the only guy that's really consistently won there and stayed long enough to kind of have a body of work. You know, Tommy Bowden won there, but Mac Brown won there, but they were short-term guys. I've always liked Tulane. I would say, you know, there's no reason why they can't be good at football. It's hard to say that they upgraded their coach, but I don't think there's much drop-off. Mm-hmm. Summerall is a guy, when you talk to people around the SEC, he's got future successful head coach written all over him. Took the Troy job. Troy wins, right? You know, yeah. Neil Brown parlayed that into West Virginia, and they win. I mean, they're an established winning program, but he brought them right back to a championship level. And now I don't see any drop off for Tulane with Fritz going to Houston. Now, I do think he's on loaner, because I think if and when Mark Stoops ever does leave Kentucky, that's the first call Mitch Barnhart makes, and I think he'd come running because he's a Kentucky alum, and that's kind of where his passion is. So if you're a Kentucky fan, do you look back and say, well, maybe Stoops, he should have taken A&M, you know, because if Summerall ends up going to another Power Five and is making bukus of money, it may get dicey, alma mater or not, but he is a tremendous head coach. So I agree there. I'm kind of a closet Tulane fan because I like their wave mascot, the angry wave. He's boxing. You know, he's put up your dukes. Put up your dukes.
One of my good friends went there. We used to make fun of them because there was literally their football program was on life support. I mean, they were like running bake sales to get money for football. To see how they've come from that to where they are now. It's a nice school down there in New Orleans. LSU can't get everybody in that state. They got to go somewhere else. So you pick up those scraps and it's not a bad deal.
And LSU used to play Tulane every year, man. It was like, it was an in-state, it's kind of like Tennessee Vanderbilt, the in-state rival. And back in the day when they were in the SEC, they were as good as anybody. I mean, Tulane Stadium sat 80,000 people. 80,000 and hosted a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's where, crazy. Like, what was the longest field goal? The guy with the club foot for the Saints.
Tom Dempsey, 63 yards.
Yeah, in that stadium. So there's history there. So hopefully, yeah. Hopefully they keep it going.
3 out of 4 is App State. You got your returning quarterback back, Joey Aguilar, who threw for 3,700 yards, 33 touchdowns. Head coach Sean Clark returns with his entire staff. They're coming off a Cure Bowl win over Miami of Ohio in the pouring rain. They got a returning quarterback in Aguilar, and they've got the returning coach. So that's a good formula there, as we've discussed. Big game out of conference, September the 7th at Clemson. Nice little matchup right there. Key games to make it to the Sun Belt Championship game, home versus Liberty, home versus JMU, and at Louisiana.
Sun Belt's just so brutal, man. App State went up to James Madison and won last year. Yeah, that's how. And this program's been really good for a long time. It's one of those that probably would have a few more national championship trophies had they not jumped to FBS.
If they stayed 1AA, no doubt.
But it's kind of as Scott Satterfield cycled out, and they were. I mean, it's kind of just been. They hadn't missed a beat, you know, and they got a system up there. And they put it in place when Jerry Moore was there, and he built it over the long haul. And they just keep rolling. They remind me kind of their rise. That they remind me of Oregon in a way, like how Rich Brooks was there for about 17 good years. That Jerry Moore was there for that long to build it. And then a series of former assistants that have done well keeping it up. So we'll see what happens. People forget Mac Brown and Sparky Woods both coached at App State too. So don't forget that.
One of my favorite assignments ever was calling a 1AA playoff game there in Boone. And this was about 15 years ago. Loved every minute of it. Loved the town, the people, the mountains, the stadium nestled in the mountains. Just a cool, cool place. Love some App State. All right, finally, a name familiar whenever we're talking about Group 5, Boise State. Watch the quarterback battle between former four-star Malachi Nelson, a transfer from Southern Cal, and Maddox Mattson, who threw for 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns in a limited role last year. The defense was young last year but should improve. Head coach Spencer Danielson returns for his second year. They won the Mountain West Championship game over your favorite Group 5 program, JC, UNLV, 40-20 last season. They got a big one September the 7th at Oregon. They play both Pac-2 teams, the two-pack, Washington State and Oregon State. Key games to get back to the Mountain West Championship game at UNLV, at Wyoming, and home against San Diego State. Your thoughts before we sign off?
I think Boise, they kind of had an atypical year, didn't get off to a great start. And I think they had four or five losses before they ended up winning their division in the Mountain West and thumping UNLV in the championship game in Vegas, no doubt. I'm with them there. You know, I think kind of they're one of those programs too, a lot like App, that, you know, they've just had a series of good coaches there that have kept it going, that know how to win, that they apply roughly the same formula. And as long as they keep doing that, that's fine. I also have mentioned this many times on our show. Watch the population trend in the state of Idaho. The University of Idaho is an outpost. We don't think about this. Moscow, Idaho is close to Pullman, Washington. It's 5 miles across the border in northwestern Idaho, not centrally located. The centrally located school in that state is Boise State. And as that population grows and there is a crop of in-state talent to keep it home, I think it'll benefit that program even more. I mean, I don't think their demise, the rumors of their demise have been much exaggerated. And I actually think having Oregon State and Washington State playing them as part of the two-pack / Mountain West every year helps them because they got a little bit more known programs on their schedule. And obviously that'll, if it comes down to an undefeated Boise State that's beaten those teams, and then like an undefeated Liberty last year who beat nobody but like the local YMCA and New Mexico State, I think that'll help them maybe snag that playoff berth. And as a program, Mike, I always am a little bit more leery of the little guys that have been there and done that. They've been the giant killers than I am with like a Johnny come lately. Like if UNLV made the playoff last year, no chance they even maybe score. But if Boise State comes to town, that's a little bit more scary. You know, because they've won it. They beat Georgia they beat Oklahoma through the years. They've been there, and those schools, those are the types that'll jump up and bite you.
I think every Group 5 program owes a little something to Boise State. Boise State was, for most of us, the original. They were the OG of the Group 5 little engine that could programs that said, no, we can play the big boys, whether it's beating Georgia, whether it's beating Oklahoma in a BCS bowl game. So many upsets. You know, they were like Gonzaga basketball. They basically crashed the party and said, no. You may keep us out of the power conferences, but we belong. Now, they've since kind of tailed off from that point. But when I think of all the attention that I'm glad to see that there's more and more relevance than ever with all these Group 5 programs, despite the disparity in resources and income, they all owe a debt of gratitude to Boise State and what was built there over, really a 20 year or so time frame to put those type of programs on the map nationally. Again, our thanks to everybody tuning in. Our thanks to our sponsors, including Site Pro Rentals. If you're renting equipment, it's important to have a local, easy to do business with friends in the industry who carry out the newest equipment. Create efficiency for you and your project job site. If you want to do work with local, easy-to-do business professionals and are ready for better equipment rental, call our friends at Site Pro 972-RENT-NOW. Sorry we couldn't get Jerry Hamilton on the line. We'll get him on before too long. I know he had some personal issues to take care of. We've got some personal issues to take care of as well as we sign off. Once again, for our producer, Mad Dog Phil Mullinax, for JC, this is Mike. We'll see you next week on JC and Morgan.